The New York State Tenants and Neighbors Coalition, along with low-income residents, are lobbying Congress to take the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, or HUD, off the fiscal cliff budget plan. Today, the group sent more than 1,000 postcards to House and Senate leaders asking them to spare the program, which has already experienced significant cuts in recent years. WBAI's Lucas Ruckhouse spoke with Emily Goldstein, coordinator of preservation organization and policy at Tenants and Neighbors, about what the future of government-subsidized housing might look like.
The fiscal cliff has several components. The part that's really crucial in terms of the HUD budget is the impact of sequestration. Back a year or so ago in the Budget Control Act, Congress said that if they didn't come up with a plan to decrease spending over the course of 10 years, automatic across-the-board cuts to all discretionary programs would go into effect starting January 1, 2013.
Now, it's challenging because both of the options on the table for Congress have the potential to be very perilous, right? On the one hand, there is the looming possible fiscal cliff. Tell me what that would mean.
These cuts require just shaving off a percentage program by program. There's no ability to choose to prioritize certain programs and do deeper cuts in other ways, the way that budget cuts would typically happen. In terms of HUD subsidies, we're particularly worried about how that would impact the Section 8 voucher and project-based Section 8 programs, because in this case you're talking about tenants and, with the project-based programs, landlords as well, who have contracts for subsidies that are supposed to be given month by month. And if those contracts and those funding accounts simply get shaved off, it's really unclear what's going to happen, if a certain percentage of people will simply lose their subsidy, or if low-income people will have to pay a higher rent burden than they're supposed to be paying, but it's not good.
So this would affect thousands of public housing units in New York, right?
Right. It would certainly affect public housing. The operating accounts would be shaved, and there's insufficient funding for those as it is. It would also affect the project-based Section 8 and the Section 8 voucher accounts severely. Those are accounts where HUD is subsidizing low-income tenants to live in private housing, not publicly owned housing, but where a large portion of the tenant's rent is paid through the federal voucher.
Now, obviously, everyone's hoping that this doesn't happen and a deal is reached, yet that presents other problems should the president cave in to some of the Republican demands for basically also spending cuts. What are you hoping to see in a deal, and what do you fear might be compromised if a deal is made?
I mean, I think what you said is exactly right. One of our concerns is that there's so much focus on just getting a deal in order to avoid the automatic cuts that there's maybe not enough focus on that the contents of the deal sort of determine whether it's good or bad, which should sort of seem obvious, but in this context, the conversations are going every which way. Our concern is that a deal that does involve further cuts to discretionary spending, particularly discretionary spending on the domestic side as opposed to military. And discretionary spending is just about all of the federal budget. It's not Social Security, it's not Medicare, but it's all housing programs and other programs as well that serve low-income people. Our concern is that a deal that involves cuts to those programs is still going to basically be sort of achieving this deficit reduction that Congress is looking for by harming low-income people, and that's not acceptable. Another thing that sort of gets lost out of the conversation is that the HUD programs in particular have already been cut pretty drastically in the last few years, and so it's sort of fair to say that these programs have already made their contribution towards cuts, and to now act as though there's a blank slate and everyone, all programs should be making equal cuts, or there needs to be a little bit from here and a little bit from there, I think both ignores what's happened with the budget the last few years and also ignores that not everything necessarily needs to be equal priority.
Now, what would the best case scenario be?
From our perspective, the best case scenario would be full funding for HUD subsidy programs. Ideally, frankly, full funding for the entire HUD portion of the budget, but in particular, that whatever happens, the portions of the HUD budget that are basically direct subsidies that are housing low-income people are spared.
If some of these cuts go through, what avenues of recourse would there be for low-income residents who are suddenly now stuck with the burden of not having this funding? Or how would it affect tenants and neighbors? What kind of contingency plans are you making?
You know, no one really knows, frankly, what would happen. It's a little unclear. There would be, I guess, several options that we'd really have to decide to take. One option would be to basically kick some people off of subsidies, which would be devastating for those families. You know, there's not necessarily an alternative for them. And so depending on the individual situation, a family winds up homeless or an elderly person winds up in a nursing home or in a hospital or, you know, they're, you know, in some cases, maybe they're doubling, tripling up with other family members or paying all of their income towards rent, so now they can't get medicine. You know, the effects may be different individual by individual. If the effect is, instead of kicking people off of a subsidy, that they raise the percentage of income that people have to pay towards rent, it still has a pretty devastating effect because you're talking about people at a very low income level. The other thing, and this is a little bit more long-term in terms of the effect, but it really can destabilize these programs. You know, in particular, the Section 8 programs rely on a partnership with private housing providers. And housing providers who don't see the funding for these programs as stable and who think that if they sign a contract to provide affordable housing using HUD subsidies, that money may be gone, right? It's not a reliable contract. They may be less willing to participate in these programs, and then there's less affordable housing out there.
Emily Goldstein is with the New York State Tenants and Neighbors Coalition. She spoke with WBAI's Lucas Reckhouse.